disaster, and emergency planning throughout the year. The 2019 theme is Prepared, Not Scared. This year, FEMA wants participants, which include ARES volunteers, to share their activities and success stories, as well as brief descriptions of their National Preparedness Month plans. Email them to fema-iga@fema.dhs.gov and include NPM in the email subject line. An appropriate submission would be your ARES team's planned or conducted ARRL Simulated Emergency Test, or SET, activity. The SET is designed to assess the skills and preparedness of ARES and other organizations involved with emergency and disaster response, and the 2019 SET is scheduled for the October 5th and 6th weekend. Guidelines and specific SET reporting forms for field organization leaders are on the ARRL website. Download and send completed forms to Steve Ewald, WV1X, at ARRL headquarters. See page 71 in the September 2019 issue of QST for more information on the 2019 SET. The Citrus Bell Amateur Radio Club of San Bernardino, California, W6JBT, will host the 20th annual Route 66 On the Air special event, September 7th to the 15th. The yearly event commemorates the 1926 construction of the famous Route 66, the country's first major improved highway linking the U.S. heartland with the West Coast. 20 stations will be on the air along the route, two of them as rover stations on the highway between Santa Monica, California, and Chicago, Illinois. All 20 stations will employ one-by-one call signs. Radio amateurs traveling on Route 66 are encouraged to take part in the event, and participating clubs will have their own distinctive commemorative QSL cards. For operating frequency guidelines and additional information, visit the Citrus Bell Amateur Radio Club website at www.w6jbt.org. In other special event news, the 9/11 New York City Memorial Station, WA2NYC, will be on the air from September 6th to September 12th to commemorate the 18th anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center. There are several ham conventions occurring this weekend. From September 6th to the 7th, MENA, Arkansas will host the Arkansas State Convention. The Queen Wilhelmina Hamfest Association will have a special event station, W5Q, on the air during the convention weekend. Also this weekend is the Wyoming State Convention in Gillette, Wyoming, with the theme of Sustainability for Long-Term Operations. On September 6th to September 8th, the New England Division Convention will take place in Boxborough, Massachusetts. On September 7th, the Virginia Section Convention will be in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And coming up next weekend will be the W9DXCC Convention and Banquet in St. Charles, Illinois, from September 13th to the 14th.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
This is Bruce, KK5DO, with a guest reporter for this week.
The Chinese Amateur Satellite Group, or CAMSAT, is building several more of the CAS satellites, CAS 8A, 8B, 8C, and 8D. The CAS 8A is scheduled to be launched by the end of 2020 and the other three on a launch towards the end of 2021. They have requested frequency coordination from the IARU. All four satellites will carry a VU transponder, which should be similar to the CAS satellite previously launched, which now operate as XW2 series of satellites. What makes these satellites special is that they are also part of a student small satellites project initiated by the Asia-Pacific Space Cooperation Organization, or APSCO. Headquartered in Beijing, China, they include members from eight countries: Bangladesh, China, Mongolia, Pakistan, Peru, Thailand, Turkey, and Indonesia. We wish them good fortune and look forward to another set of operating satellites. There is a rare chance for a grid square, DM02, as Alex, N7AGF, and Ron, AD0DX, operating from a boat off the coast of San Clemente Island. This will take place from 1000 Zulu on Sunday, September 22nd, for about 22 hours. Look for them on most of the satellites. The call will be N60/Maritime Mobile, and you can find more information on their QRZ page, N60. This is Mahana Page, W5BTS, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, September 6th. The sun may be without spots, but it's still sending some mighty solar winds our way. The most recent should arrive this weekend, but it's likely to be a glancing shot. That blast last weekend resulted in some very poor conditions all the way down to 40 meters, but that probably won't happen this time around. On VHF and UHF, Hurricane Dorian is causing some big tropospheric ducting activity on 2 meters and up, and it's all up and down the East Coast so far. So keep your ears to your radios this weekend and beyond.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.
The WGXC Record Fair is coming soon. Sunday, September 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Basilica Hudson. The day after Basilica Soundscape, come out and find all kinds of vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, and more. The WGXC Record Fair. Sunday, September 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll see you there.
We next catch up with Willie Terry, who is honored by the Capital District Solidarity Committee for his work as the Roman labor correspondent for WOOC. So Willie, why do you invest so much time in trying to cover the labor movement here in the Capital District?
Well, I guess it's probably because where I came from in my experience. I was a labor president. I worked in the labor movement in CSEA for like 32 years, organizing and working on labor programs, going to rallies and supporting people. So, you know, that's in my background.
Mm-hmm. What have been some of the, you know, most critical labor stories that you've covered in the last year?
Oh, well, I think one that I covered in the last year has been events that happened with the Solidarity Committee. You know, people don't know a lot, probably don't know a whole lot about the Solidarity Committee, but, you know, the Solidarity Committee do a lot of things. They support struggles. They were the first one to start the Martin Luther King program here in Albany. And all the struggles and social justice protests they have been involved in. And not only that, but they also let you know that those things are happening.
So what do you see as some of the big, labor struggles coming up in the coming year?
Well, labor got to get more into organizing and develop an organizing base so that they could recruit not just union members, but also organize the community. And they also got to get involved in the global warming climax issue, too. That's very important. And then the political issue, you know, if we will keep trunk in if labor don't really, go out full force.
Well, you mentioned you've been involved in, you know, labor issues at least 30, 40 years. What have been some of the key changes in recent years? And, you know, are you hopeful about the future of the labor movement at the moment?
Yeah, well, some of the key changes that labor have been getting things for their members, you know, good contracts. They just got the paid family medical leave, which was one of the demands, which is a real good key demand, because if people's families are taken care of, then they feel at ease to get involved in other things. So that's been one of the real big issues. The downturn with that Janus decision that came out, the Trump Supreme Court people let get through, so that's kind of a bad thing. Where labor's going in the future, that remains to be seen right now. You know, it remains to be seen on how strong labor can get involved politically and what they can accomplish politically.
And as the well-known Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, what are you hoping to accomplish with your radio work?
Well, I think, like I said when I spoke in there, that the corporate media don't do labor justice. And I think the local media, like the Sanctuary for Independent Media and other local media, nonprofit media, they can put information out about labor in a sense that people can understand and know about the history of the labor movement. And then once people know the history and know a lot of things about labor movement, then hopefully people will become more involved. Because labor is not a society or a group or a club. Labor is the community itself. Just the only thing is that it's just the community when people work and they organize together to get things done for society itself.
And if people have an idea they want to suggest to you about your coverage as the Roman Labor Correspondent, how best can they get a hold of you?
518-369-4978. Or contact the Sanctuary for Independent Media Center.
And that is Willie Terry, honored this year by the Capital District Labor Solidarity Committee as the Roman Labor Correspondent for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. So we're talking with Tom Ellis, a member of the Capital District Solidarity Committee. And one of the issues I've heard Tom raise over the years has been problems with the Champlain-Hudson Power Express, which is a transmission line, allegedly going to be bringing hydro Quebec electricity down into New York City and elsewhere. Tom, what are some of the concerns around this project?
Well, for me, the major concern is that Hydro-Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador, which is the province to the east, are literally destroying rivers to construct power stations to export electricity to the United States, especially New York and New England. And Hydro-Quebec has been doing it for decades, and it's not like Niagara Falls where they dig a pipe through the rock around the waterfall and half the water gets diverted through the pipe. What's happening in Quebec and Labrador is that river valleys, which are relatively flat, are being diked, which means a wall is being built around the top of the river valley and then a dam at the outlet of it and then a power station built there. So huge areas of land are being flooded. And so you're creating these giant reservoirs. And when this land gets flooded, the water gets poisoned. There's mercury in the ground, which gets into the water, methyl mercury, which is toxic to the fish and any other living thing that drinks it or eats the fish. When the river valley gets flooded, the vegetation in the river can no longer take carbon dioxide out of the air, so it actually makes climate change worse. And plus the rotting vegetation in the flooded river valley releases methane and some carbon dioxide into the air, so it's another negative as far as climate change. So the governments of Quebec and Newfoundland are promoting these projects as clean and green and renewable, and they're actually contributing to climate change. And most people don't know that because most people have a pretty positive image of hydroelectricity. But there's several different types of hydroelectricity. And so what's a developer in Toronto called Transmission Developers Incorporated proposed about 10 years ago to build a one-way electric cord from the Canadian border near Clinton County near Rouse's Point to Astoria, Queens. And basically it would come ashore on land in Rouse's Point, then it would dip into the Lake Champlain, where it would be buried in two trenches under the lake. Then it would come ashore, I think near someplace in Warren County, I forget exact town, and it would come on land around the part of the Hudson River where the PCBs are. So it would come through Warren County, Saratoga County, Schenectady County. It would come right down. It would be buried along railroad rights of way, so it would come right down Erie Boulevard in Schenectady, through Albany County, would come out into the Hudson River. It would be buried in two trenches under the Hudson River down to Rockland County. Then in Rockland County, it would come ashore for about 10 or 15 miles along, I think, Route 9W, where it would be buried again. Then it would come back out into the Hudson River and be buried again, and then into the East River and the Harlem River, where it would come ashore in New York City.
So, Tom, we have about 90 seconds left. What should people do at this point, both to find out more about this project, but also to, you know, who do you need to convince to stop it?
I think in New York we need to convince Governor Cuomo to stop it. and which is not easy to do. Cuomo doesn't really listen much to people, in my opinion. We need to push the Public Service Commission to make sure that it doesn't get built. You can get information from me at the Solidarity Committee. My email address is tomellis107@gmail.com. There's also an international coalition called the North American Mega Dam Resistance Alliance, NAMRA, and they have a website. And so it's quite a big coalition in New York and in New England and in Labrador and a little bit in Quebec to try to stop these projects. And in Quebec, Hydro-Quebec has literally destroyed the Romaine River, which is 700 or 800 miles east of Montreal. They've built three reservoirs on the river, and they're finishing a fourth one. And in Labrador, about 1,200 miles east of here, on the Grand River, also called the Churchill River, a dam has been built near Muskrat Falls, and it's being flooded right now. So 59 kilometers of river valley is being flooded to about 40 meters deep.
Okay. And so this has been Tom Ellis and Hudson Mohawk Radio Network with Mark Dunlay.
WGXE always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer, 2.0 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer, 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information.
Prediction charts have indicated that a powerful hurricane will begin forming today in the Atlantic Ocean. The electronic weather map shows an intense storm system building up about 1,000 miles due east of Miami, Florida. The controller calls for a close-up satellite view of the troubled area.
Coco 526, Yankee 2.5.
Okay, controller, Coco 526, Yankee 2.5.
The characteristic swirling clouds of the hurricane are beginning to form. At sea, the waves anticipate the violence to come. The controller calls for a last-minute prediction of the hurricane's path. If control measures are not begun at once, the hurricane will smash across densely populated areas within 48 hours.
11 a.m. EST. A hurricane is forming 960 miles east of Miami, Florida.
If control measures are ineffective, it will pass inland at Cape Hatteras in 48 hours. Control operations will begin within 2 hours, but safety precautions should be completed from Cape Fear, north no later than 6 p.m. tomorrow.
At Weather Central, the control strategy is mapped out. A ridge of high pressure slants across the eastern United States between two low-pressure storm systems. If these two storm centers are intensified, the high will build up along the coast, forming a barrier that will turn the hurricane out to sea.
Stand by. Now pulling in satellite number one for visual check of low-pressure systems L20 and L21.
The operator brings the satellite into focus on the two storms. One centered over Kansas, the other over Labrador.
Changing to northeastern low, L21.
With a touch of a button, the battle begins. On the ground, chemical cloud seeders begin to work the two storm areas. Robot planes seed the clouds from above. The storm centers over Kansas and over Labrador intensify as seeding continues.
Now changing over to Hurricane Center HA.
The fury of the hurricane mounts as 100-mile-an-hour winds lash the sea to a foaming frenzy.
All stations, Sector C. Activate Phase 2, Control Plan Delta. Set Vapor rockets for 42,000 feet.
As an emergency measure, the controller calls for a salvo of vapor rockets to be fired ahead of the path the hurricane is predicted to take. These artificial clouds will block the sun from evaporating more water to feed the hurricane. The reports coming into the control center indicate that the diversionary cloud seeding over Kansas is now creating a flood danger. Specially equipped robot aircraft are dispatched immediately to release a high concentration of cloud seeding material into the fringes of the storm. Heavier seeding from the ground also helps to subdue the rain by spreading it over a wider area. The controller calls for another view of the hurricane, which has now moved closer to the coast.
Signal out on number one satellite. 10-minute interruption for correction. Have you anything else in the area?
Satellite station S1 is approaching area. We'll make contact.
S1, this is Weather Central. Request video signal at grid coordinates COCO. An emergency situation has developed. In an orbiting space station 1,000 miles above the hurricane, a crewman sends a temporary picture back to Weather Central.
Okay, S1, your video is R5S5. Thank you.
The hurricane has stopped moving toward the coast, but is still intensifying. It must be made to move northward and out to sea. This is a crisis.
Aberdeen Station, activate multiple seeding rockets on course 117.
The controller decides to fire cloud seeding rockets just ahead of the hurricane, hoping to start it moving. Begins to shift. All available forces have been brought into play. Now we can only watch and wait. Of tension, the turning point is reached. Latest reports indicate the control strategy is successful. At last, the high pressure ridge has settled along the coast, forming an invisible wall of safety. The storm is over. The danger has passed. The hurricane has been defeated, turned away from the land, and left to spend itself harmlessly far out at sea. In the world of tomorrow, weather control will enrich and safeguard our daily lives. In the foreseeable future, we will conquer more than violent storms. We will turn the destructive elements of today into new sources of power, shaping the land on which we live. All mankind will benefit. Arid wastelands will be made green and fertile, and vast frozen areas will become productive.
To this end, man-made satellites will probe the secrets of the skies. They will be our eyes in outer space.
Newly born, nervous finger suffers hard fact chatterbox blues. Stop. Speed brings motion into politics. So what gets you there faster makes hard facts dominate. Stop. Human body breaks don't delay digital omniscience. If utter satellite feeds, time running out. Stop. High-flying public pudenda makes pure market frequencies ubiquitous. So what's the big deal given no chance be long? Stop. Untimely, intimate castaway corpse lubricates whole surface jam. Oh, top 40 rhythm, keep your hands off of me. Stop. Why make the world 22 minutes, twat, when 3 fluid minutes basta ya? Stop. Waste air makes matter move faster, matters not. If tasty on-air diddle gives a tickle fix or stop dreaming, says famous sex therapist Dr. Ruth. Stop. Too many bloody microbes take time to wash out crash traffic through outhouse bodies through black box survive. Stop. Foster home salt for trench mouth forefinger. That's ouch finger trench mouth salt. This is not a test.
You